glad you had it.
House Committee on Judiciary come to order. Today is Tuesday, May 17, 2011. First item on the agenda is a Senate Bill 67, which is now a gut and stuff, and I would like to call Representative Thatcher, please.
Chairs and members of the committee, if I could first apologize to Representative Thatcher. The release date on the amendment that you have a copy of is from the 9th, but it wasn't actually in hand with the committee staff until today, so I apologize for the delay.
I'm sorry, it's really hard to hear.
I was just apologizing for the delay with the copy of the amendment.
Oh, okay. No problem. Essentially, you're taking some language that I had in a previous bill. Not all of it, but some of the language, and just basically adding first-time sex offenders who are under supervision to the list, the sex offender registry. And there's only about five.
Your name,
Representative. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I should. It's the first time I've testified. Representative Kim Thatcher from Kaiser. Right now, there's a list that goes out regularly. I think it's about a monthly list. It gets sent out to people who have requested it, and that's groups like daycares and Boy Scouts or some landlords, employers, things like that. And there's one in Beaverton that I know that screens about 200 or 300 people a day. And the monthly list coming out from OSP does not include the first-time offenders now, so they're not getting a complete picture unless they're asking for a specific person. And, you know, that it's quite difficult to get that full picture. So this would solve that.
Okay. Any questions? Representative Thatcher? Representative Gomez, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Thatcher, I'm sorry. This is the first time I've looked at it, and I apologize for that. But tell me what is the problem you're trying to fix?
Well, essentially, people who are getting these monthly screenings are not getting the full list. There's people that are left off of this list of sex offenders simply because they are, and there's about 5,000 out of the 18,000 on the registry now that are first-time sex offenders, and they're under supervision. Therefore, they're not on this list for whatever reason. And so it just makes the list more complete for people who are trying to check for such individuals.
Follow-up? So the group you're referring to is whom? You said they're not getting... Who is they? Who is
they, the people
the
who request these lists, such as daycares, landlords, Boy Scouts, I mean, just people who have requested these lists to help screen potential sex offenders.
Okay. And follow-up?
So
the people who are left off are the first-time offenders? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is my understanding. They're first-time sex offenders.
And this bill, if I may, this bill will fix that so that first-time sex offenders will be on this list that daycare providers or schools or et cetera
yes.
are asking for. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Representative. Vibe, did you have anything you wanted to add to this or here?
I clatter, sorry. For the record, Vi Beatty, manager of the Oregon State Sex Offender Registry with Oregon State Police, co-chairs, members of the committee. I'd just like to clarify what this bill does is it allows us to include first-time supervised adult convicted sex offenders. The juveniles are still not included on any list that we would release for juvenile offenders, first-time or under supervision. Their information is only limitedly released per statute, and it's only by name request. So this only puts the adult first-time supervised offenders into the list format for us.
Hey, thank you. Any questions? Representative Olson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just clarify this. You're saying specifically just adults, and you're not saying juveniles?
Yes.
Representative Tomei.
So, thank you, Mr. Chair. So Vi, I have a daycare. I'm a daycare provider, and so I'm asking if Joan Smith is on this list. And if Joan Smith is a first-time offender, she would be on this list?
Yes. If you, as a member of the public, call the Sex Offender Registry, and you ask about a person by name. So if you're asking about Joan Smith, if Joan Smith were a juvenile adjudicated person, we would release yes or no that person is a sex offender, registered as a sex offender, because it's a name request. But if you, as a daycare provider, contact my office and say, I want on the monthly list, the name and DOB list for sex offenders, registered offenders, that we send out to internet, or not internet, excuse me, to email addresses, then if Joan Smith were a supervised juvenile, she would not be on that list that we would send out. If, however, she were an adult convicted offender under supervision, with this change, we could include her on that list. Currently, we cannot.
Oliver?
Oliver.
And help me understand why you cannot now.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, Representative Tomei, statute states that for first-time sex offenders under supervision, be they adult convicted or juvenile adjudicated, we have to have a name request.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anything further? Representative Wand.
So I'm looking at page 2, lines 3 through 8. And what's confusing me is I, and please correct me if I'm mistaken on this, because I'm new to this issue, but if you people that are under the supervision of the Oregon Youth Authority, aren't those juveniles?
Co-chairs, members of the committee, Representative Wand, yes, they are.
So as I read Section 2A, if a sex offender is under the supervision, then they would be disclosed.
Representative Wan, only if we receive a name request.
Right. Okay.
But if someone were to ask for a list of zip code 97310, they would not be included on that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I just follow up. A scenario. Juvenile commits a crime, sex abuse one, when he's 16 years old, and first time goes through the supervision process when he's 20 years old. What happens for the release of that information for him, having never been a sex offender?
Co-chairs, members of the committee, Representative Olson, question for you. Was he adjudicated or was he remanded to adult court?
He was adjudicated.
If he's adjudicated at 16, and at 20 he is released from the jurisdiction of the juvenile court, then that information becomes public. So if you were to request information on that 16-year-old for the two-year period that that individual has to register until they can petition the court for relief from registration, their information would be released based on a public safety need. They would be included in the list, et cetera.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair.
Representative Krieger.
Not a question, but it does go to show that this whole registration thing is complex, and that's why I want the work group during the interim to take a look at the whole thing. It's kind of convoluted. A lot of people don't understand it. We'd like to try to have the right people with us in the work group and clean it up.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm going to close the hearing. So I'll be, okay. Close the work session on Senate Bill 67A. Open a work session on Senate Bill 379.
Chairs and members of the committee, Senate Bill 379 was previously heard on May 4th. It has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. It's a state bar bill that allows filing of statements of candidacy for positions on the boards, on the bar's Board of Governors and House of Delegates by active members, replacing the requirement that they require that they submit a nominating petition signed by 10 members.
Okay, any questions about the bill?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 379 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Krieger moves Senate Bill 379 to the floor with a due pass. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Nolan.
Yes.
Representative Olson.
Excused.
Representative Shoffler.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Wong.
Aye.
Representative Woodman.
Excused.
Co-Vice Chair Hicks.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Garrett.
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker.
Aye. Motion carries, and we'll move that to the consent calendar if there's no objection. Open a work session on Senate Bill 380.
Chairs and members of the committee, Senate Bill 380 is also from the Board of Governors section of the Oregon State Bar. It was previously heard on May the 4th. No revenue impact, no fiscal impact. This is the measure that suspends a person's membership in the bar if they fail to file an annual certification. They do have 60 days to cure that the failure to certify, rather than triggering a fully involved disciplinary action.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 380 to the floor with a due pass. Representative Krieger moves Senate Bill 380 to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion? Representative Hicks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just another way of iterating this is that for the lawyers that might be listening is that this makes failure to file your form, it changes it from being a disciplinary action to an administrative one, which makes sense to me. It's not something we're already doing necessarily, so it is a change appropriately done with the statutory form.
Okay, thank you for that explanation. Call the roll, please.
Representative Nolan.
Yes.
Representative Olson.
Excused.
Representative Shoffler.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Wong.
Aye.
Representative Woodman.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Hicks.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Garrett.
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker.
Aye. Motion carries. Another, we'll put that on the consent calendar as well. Close the work session. Open a work session on Senate Bill 385.
Chairs and members of the committee, Senate Bill 385 was previously heard also on May the 4th. Has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. This is the Estate Planning Administration section of the Oregon State Bar and the Oregon Law Commission, with changes to House Bill 3077 from the previous session. That bill, House Bill 3077, is the one that took about a decade to prepare, was a cooperative effort to revise Oregon's elective share statutes. This bill makes a number of technical and corrective modifications.
Any discussion? Okay. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 385 to the floor with a due pass. Representative Krieger moves Senate Bill 385 to the floor with a due pass. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative
Nolan. Yes. Representative Olson. Yes.
Representative
Shoffler. Aye. Representative Tomei. Aye. Representative Wong.
Aye.
Representative
Woodman.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Hicks.
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker.
Aye. Motion carries. And Representative
Wong,
would you carry that for us in case somebody might have a question about that?
Certainly.
Okay. Open a work session on Senate Bill 386.
Chairs and members of the committee, Senate Bill 386, also previously heard on May the 4th with no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. This is the measure that excludes gifted property that's held separately by one party to a dissolution act from being presumed acquired mutually as part of the marital assets. If the members will recall, there was a discussion of an anomalous ruling in an Olesenberg case. This measure is also a state bar bill submitted by both the estate planning section and family law section.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 386 to the floor with a due pass. Representative Krieger moves Senate Bill 386 to the floor with a due pass. Questions? Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative
Nolan.
No.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Shoffler.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Wong.
Aye.
Representative Woodman.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Hicks.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Garrett.
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker.
Aye. Motion carries. I'll ask Representative Hicks to be the carrier of that one. If there's any questions. Open a work session on Senate Bill 387.
Chairs and members of the committee, if you give me just a moment. Senate Bill 387 was previously heard on May the 4th. There's no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. This is the bill that revises the Uniform Income and Principal Act. It's submitted by the Oregon State Bar, the Oregon Society of Certified Public Accountants, and the Oregon Bankers Association. They all worked on it jointly in response to the National Conference of Commission on Uniform State Laws to update Oregon's Uniform Income and Principal Act.
Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 387 to the floor if it do pass.
Representative Krieger moves Senate Bill 387 to the floor if it do pass. Call the roll, please.
Representative Nolan. Representative Olson.
Yes.
Representative Schaffler.
Aye.
Representative
Tomei.
Aye.
Representative
Wong. Aye.
Representative
Woodman. Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Hicks.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Garrett.
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker.
Aye.
Motion carries, and this is a technical correction, so we'll put it on the consent calendar. Open a hearing on Senate Bill 389A.
Chair and members of the committee, Senate Bill 389A was heard on May 3rd. It has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. This comes from the Oregon Judicial Department. Statutes currently provide for records requests at the trial court level, and this mirrors the trial court records requests to requests made after trial for a uniform process to obtain confidential jury records.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 389A to the floor if it do pass.
Representative Krieger moves Senate Bill 389A to the floor if it do pass. Call the roll, please.
Representative Nolan. Representative
Olson. Aye. Representative Schaffer. Aye. Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative
Wong.
Aye.
Representative Woodman.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Hicks.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Garrett.
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries, and I'll ask Representative Hicks to be the carrier of that one as well. Open a hearing on Senate Bill 390.
Chairs and members of the committee, Senate Bill 390 is also from the Oregon Judicial Department, and it makes adjustments in anticipation of electronic access to the process for disclosure of civil commitment proceeding records to the parties, to interested persons. There is a set of conflict amendments we received today that are ready if the committee desires to move them. There's no revenue impact, no fiscal impact to those either. It's a conflict with Senate Bill 68, which the committee will be hearing tomorrow. That is the measure that was a revamp or a review by the Department of State Police of Chapter 181. Makes stylistic changes and adjustments to that entire chapter. It's, the conflict amendment itself doesn't make any substantive change. It simply accounts for the fact that if both measures should pass, they can coexist. And I believe Bruce Miller is here from the courts. If you need confirmation that there's no substantive change, or
I'd bring him up to see what he says.
It's a dash one, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Miller, if you could just explain the dash one to us, please.
You bet. Good afternoon, co-chairs, members of the committee. My name is Bruce Miller. I'm senior staff counsel in the office of the state court administrator. The Dash 1 amendment modifies two statutes that deal with a reference to the state police, and they simply remove the reference to the Bureau of Criminal Identification to be consistent with the rewrite of the chapter dealing with the state police. Doesn't affect the way this particular bill works.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Thank you.
Chair, I'd like to move the Dash 1 amendments into Senate Bill 390.
Representative Krieger moves the Dash 1 amendments into Senate Bill 390. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 390 as amended to the floor if it do pass.
Representative Krieger moves Senate Bill 390 as amended to the floor if it do pass. Is there any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Nolan.
Yes.
Representative
Olson. Aye. Representative Schaffler.
Aye.
Representative
Tomei. Aye. Representative Woodman. Aye. Co-Vice
Chair Hicks.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Garrett.
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker.
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Krieger, would you mind carrying that for us? Thank you. Open a work session on Senate Bill 391.
Chairs and members of the committee, Senate Bill 391 also heard on May 3rd has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. This is the one that allows a tax court magistrate to hold another for-profit position without altering current prohibitions against conflicts. It also comes from the Oregon Judicial Department.
Okay. Are there any questions about this one?
Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 391 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Krieger moves Senate Bill 391 to the floor with a due pass. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Nolan. Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Schaffler.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Wong.
Aye.
Representative Woodman.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Hicks.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Garrett.
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker.
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Wisdom, when you carry that for us, thank you. Open a work session on Senate Bill 400.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 400, previously heard on May 3rd, has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact. This measure allows a date of filing a notice of appeal by an incarcerated person to be the date they turn it over to the facility. It's otherwise known as the institutional mailbox rule.
Okay, any questions about that one?
Senate Bill 400 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Krieger moves Senate Bill 400 to the floor with a due pass. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Nolan.
Yes.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Schaffler.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Wong.
Aye.
Representative Woodman.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Hicks.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Garrett.
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker.
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Garrett, would you carry that for us?
I'd love to do that.
Okay. Any further business to come before the committee? Committee adjourned.